Boy, you want to go to work and have yourself a day, why don't you sit in that county commission seat for a little while here? Because you're going to see public safety roll across your desk, probably on a daily basis. Budget stuff's going to roll across your desk, probably on a daily basis. Transportation issues, you know, the whole pothole thing, yeah, that rolls across your desk, probably on a daily basis, but there's much more than that as well. You're setting policy for your entire county and for everybody in that county as well. And what do you want? You want them to prosper. And you want them to be healthy as well. We're going to talk about that. We've got a lot of issues on the plate here for our county commissioners as they are meeting today at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center. It's the midwinter conference for MACO, the Montana Association of Counties. We've got a good lineup here with Commissioner Gordon Olkers and Andy Hunthausen and Dave Strohmeyer. Lots to talk about today from the Billings Hotel and Convention Center on Voices of Montana.
Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Yeah, a little bit of 406 in here today. When I found out that the commissioners were going to meet here for the mid-winter conference, I was going, hey, let's get over there and see how things are going. We're going to do that, you know, geographically. We're going to be in Roosevelt County, going to be in Lewis and Clark County with Andy Hunthausen, and a bit later on in Missoula County. But everything kind of all points here to Billings, Montana for this midwinter conference. And guess who's the president of MACO, the Montana Association of Counties? It's Gordon Olkers, commissioner out of Roosevelt County, longtime public official there, 18 years as the mayor of Culbertson in your hometown, right?
Great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate that. I started out by talking about all those things that are on your plate. How do you guys handle that? I mean, this conference is probably pretty vital to that, because if everybody's working on the same thing, maybe you get together and you can get the job done a little sooner, huh?
Yeah, very much so. These conventions help us with lots of stuff. You know, you got a wide variety of things that we deal with as county commissioners. And we don't need to reinvent the wheel every time. There's other counties that have came across the same issues, same problems. And within Montana Association Counties, MACO, we kind of, that's kind of our conduit to get information out to the different counties and help out where we can. And we have lots of miles of roads to grade, and that's always the biggest issue, finding the gravel to get on. It's expensive, and we have to be creative on some things, and we help each other out, and it's MACO that kind of brings us together.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of policy that's involved with this too, because we hear it an awful lot. The cities have their own governance, they want to do things, the county, their own governance, they have ideas, the legislative session comes and goes, so to speak. How do you deal with all that policy? What's your priorities for that, Gordon?
Well, you know, our policies, MACO has a policy committee. So we got agriculture committee, we got community, economic development, labor community committees, we got energy committees, we got health and human services, we got justice and public safety. Public safety is a huge issue. Land use, that's varies throughout the state, land use and planning. Wow. Public lands, resolution and legislative, with the legislation happening every 2 years, we try to get ahead of them issues. We have tax, budget, and financing, and we have transportation. That's our committees. And pretty much, as president, I appoint people to those committees, and, you know, there's around 30 in each committee. So there's always people that have kind of a specialty or have extra knowledge in those areas, and they hold those committee meetings every convention, and that really helps out the rest of the committees, and that makes our policies. So that kind of, it helps out, because Montana is such a diverse counties. We have the big seven, we have the medium, and then we have the real small.
Right.
And all those committee things have to fit all of them. We don't say, well, it's good for Gallatin County, so Roosevelt's going to have to live with it. We try to make things work out so everybody's on the same footing.
And you guys bump into each other now and again over that, because there, like you notice, there's a big difference between the rural and then the urban and then the frontier as well.
Yep.
What's the secret to all of that?
Communications. And that's kind of what I ran on is kind of my platform is communications within Mako, communications from Mako to the county's commissioners. And then we want to get the commissioners involved in Mako because that's where they can learn from others. And, you know, you get in the hallways, you talk to people, and you come to these meetings. There's always things you pick up that you take back to your county that's going to help run better, more efficient, and serve the people better. And then the legislative issues would be my other third priority. We want to get ahead of some of those issues so we can make them work as opposed to top-down. We want to make sure that we help the legislators do the right legislation instead of doing unfunded mandates, doing things that maybe only fit one county. You know, there's a lot of times a legislator tries to get up there and does something just for their district right. that hurts the rest of the state but helps their district. And we want to make sure everything's on the same, everybody gets the same treatment.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I don't think it's an easy job.
It's really hard. Right? It takes a lot of time. Yeah. Government is not meant to be fast. We're meant to be slow and deliberate and get public input as we go, and you don't do things fast, that's when things get backfire on you.
Well, that's the purpose of planning, right? Is so you don't have to have, so you have a plan in place, and so you don't have to have emergency legislation about something.
And that's where Mako comes into effect. We have executive director and director that, and well, we've got four people up there that do a lot of things with legislation, and it's a year-round thing. They just don't do it for those 90 days. There's a lot of upfront planning. And some of these bills come out, well, if we see them beforehand, we can make them a lot better for everybody. I mean, it's, you know, it's just, it works out so much better with having Mako in there as our lead for legislation, but they take direction from the counties. They're not, they do whatever the counties want to do. You know, it's done by committee.
Yeah. Gordon Orker is with us, president of Mako, the Montana Association of Counties, also a Roosevelt County Commissioner as well. Let's talk. I want to get into your county a little bit here, too, but let's talk about those priorities that you have. What do you want people to take away from here? You know, what does our audience need to know about some of the top things that you guys are wrestling with?
Well, it's kind of the same stuff. You know, we got emergency management systems is meetings right now. We did mental health yesterday, which that's a huge issue. You know, some of these bigger counties have a lot more support than the smaller counties on mental health. You know, there's transportation. Our coalitions are the wildlife counties. We got oil, gas, and coal counties. We got public lands. We got forest service counties. We got urban counties, hard rock mineral counties, natural resource coalition, and the reservation counties recent coalitions. So each one of those meet at these meetings too. So it's, you know, we cover a lot of topics, and it seems like it's kind of strange. These commissioners, we get somebody that's kind of an expert in each one of them, and they kind of take charge, and we appoint them to bring the rest of the folks up to speed. And that's a huge deal when you can talk to somebody who's in the trenches and knows what they're doing, and kind of probably their future or past job has got them some experience in these different specific areas.
I very much appreciate that too, because that takes the politics out of it a little bit, and I love Montana because the people who want to run and serve, they really want to serve. I don't know that that's the case in some of these other communities in other states as well, but in the inland Northwest and in the Midland areas, I think people want to do the right thing.
Yeah, we've had a transportation person from the National Association of County in Washington D.C. speak yesterday, and he even said that about our conference. He said it's so nice, people are pleasant, they visit, they want to get the knowledge, they don't have these personal agendas, they don't try to push different agendas, they just listen and they talk their mind.
Where is the friction at? What do you guys again, as you talked about collaborating, it takes some time, what are you working through right now that the public should maybe know about?
Yeah, I guess I don't. There's nothing major that's hanging over our association, right? There really isn't.
AI, energy development.
Them are all issues that we're dealing with and trying to make positive. It's not anything that we're arguing or there's a major tiff over. But it works out good. It's surprising how it's Montana. I guess everybody has kind of the same issues. We all got road issues. We got public safety, sheriffs, jail, mental health, You know, it's all kind of the same issues, no matter where you're at.
Have you had, and I think you maybe you might have to think about it a little bit, but an experience where, because one of the things I hear a lot is this collaboration, is working together. And you said it earlier, too, about, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel if somebody else has already invented the wheel. Do you recall a time when you have looked at another county or even as mayor of Culberson, another city, and said that can work here and employed it?
We've done that with, like, some mental health issues, telehealth, I guess is what it'd be, telehealth. We just implemented some of that, and we're working more of that to get that in the jail systems, which Custer County is doing that right now, so we're kind of borrowing it from them. So there's specific things that you use that you say, hey, that's going to work in our area.
Gordon Olker is with us, president of MACO, Roosevelt County Commission. Give us an update on what's going on there in Roosevelt County.
Roosevelt County, it's exciting right now with the oil development right around Culbertson, which is, you know, north of Glendive there, 80 miles, and we're right in the corner in the Williston Basin. We've got oil leases that spots that have never been leased before around the town of Culbertson, north of Culbertson, east and west and south. Kraken Oil, which is a Sydney-based, the owner went to school in Sydney, Oil, and Phoenix Oil is also a big player up there. Between those two, they got a lot of oil spots ready to go, permitted. And it's really helped the area. If the oil stays $65 plus, there's going to be a lot of activity in our area. And we became the number two producer of oil in Montana. Richland County's number one. And we're by far, I mean, between us two, we're by far higher. And that helps our school systems. That helps our budget. You know, we get about 20%, a little bit less of our budget comes from oil revenue. And so that's a huge thing for our property taxpayers. We were able to maintain or just go up. I think last year we went up 2% in our property taxes. So we're trying to maintain that. Our county FTEs are stayed at 110 pretty much for the last 10 years I've been there. We're not growing. But gravel costs more. You know, we used to pay $4 a ton. Now we're paying $14 a ton.
Yeah.
And scoria, we used to pay $2. Now we're paying $18. Graders are $500,000 now. So expenses go up. That's another thing. We have Senate Bill 117. That is how we get our property taxes done now. So we're going to get full rate of inflation for average for the last 3 years up to 4%, which it used to be just 0.5%. But then they capped our new taxable property values at 75% for property for class four, which is our houses. So we don't get the full rate of inflation, so that'll help the taxpayers. That'll kick back into there. And there's a few other things on that formula that maybe limits county governments throughout the whole state on how much they can spend with this new growth, especially in the big, the forest mountain areas that are growing so much. You know, their budgets have been growing quite a bit, which the impact's there, so they have to grow, but there's some limits on what they're going to be able to grow.
Yeah. Well, how long have you been county commissioner?
10 years now. I've been county commissioner in Roosevelt County.
What's a day in the life like for Gordon Olker?
Well, you get up and you do your go to. I drive 55 miles each way to Wolf Point to work. So, but you got the emails, and then people start usually roads. There's always issues. Everybody wants their roads done. That's always a big thing, and you know, personnel issues.
Yeah.
The jailers, there's always turnover in jailers. There's always, but you know, we have a good staffs, other elected officials. We work together.
That's good.
Our budgets aren't as constrained as some because we have the oil activity. You know, without that, we would be very limited on our budget because we have not grown. Our mill levy has stayed constant in the last 10 years. We have not grown our mills because we're not a growing county. But with the oil activity, we're able to maintain a pretty good budget.
20% of your budget, and your budget's $20 million.
Well, we spend $20 million. You got a budget 30 because you got a 33% savings because you don't get any money from July to August there. So, there's county government financing is a little different than private, which is hard to do too. You go from I own a private business, you go from that to county government. It's a whole way different way of. You can't just make a decision and run with it. You got to have public input. Governments are kind of designed to run slow and get public input and make their things on the agenda and they're advertised. And
Sometimes that leads to a long day, doesn't it?
It sometimes leads to a long day, and people want stuff done right now. Well, that's not how it works, and you got to explain that, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Gordon Olkers, I appreciate you. President of MACO, Roosevelt County Commission as well. Thanks for coming on and sharing some of that with us here.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We're going to take a break and come on back. Andy Hunthausen is going to, you know Andy Hunthausen from Lucy?
Yep.
Do you like
Very
him at all?
Oh, yeah,
is he okay?
He's a good guy.
All right, then. All right.
He's a good
That's
guy.
Good. That's good. So we'll be back with Commissioner Hunthausen, and then Commissioner David Strohmeyer will join us a bit later on as well. We'll talk about the railway that is making headway, that southern route returning. So back with more here. We are live from the Midwinter Conference of the Montana Association of Counties today on Voices of Montana. From Montana for Montana, it's Voices of Montana. Dave Strohmeyer will join us a bit later on. He's with Missoula County and chair of the Big Sky Passenger Rail Authority. And that's the group that's attempting to re-engage the Hiawatha route, that southern rail route in Montana. They've made more progress personally than I thought they were gonna. So that's a bit later on as well. We'll hear from Eric Bryson, who's with MACO, the Montana Association of Counties. And we're here today at their Midwinter Conference at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center. Good to have you joining us here, too. Andy Hunthausen joins us now. Commissioner Hunthausen is with Lewis and Clark County, but serves on a couple of different committees, Justice and Public Safety, the vice chair there as well, and a lot of focus. And good morning, Commissioner. How are you?
Good morning, Tom.
Thanks for coming on.
Great to be here.
Appreciate it. You having a good conference?
I am, yeah. Great to be here.
Good. What are you learning?
Well, gosh. I hope I can learn something, you know, kind of old dog, new tricks or whatever it might
maybe
be.
Maybe you're teaching more than you're learning, too, yeah.
Maybe some of that. Yeah. No, there's always good conversation, and it's great to get together with our fellow counties and just talk about our experiences and what we're facing. We face like things out there in terms of challenges, but each county is unique, and we always learn from each other. So it's great opportunity to get together and kind of compare notes.
That's the challenge of this, but the beauty of it too, all across Montana, right? 56 counties and 56 different identities. We may have some traits alike, you know, but there's things that are different everywhere. And in Lewis and Clark County, you know, as we talk about behavioral health services here a little bit, that's been one of the focuses. You have a lot of these neighboring or smaller counties. So when you plan for public health services, how much does that enter into the conversation about the regionality of healthcare?
Well, it has to, and you hit it on the head. You know, 56 counties, and we're all different. We all have different capacities. Some have those population centers. Some are very rural and frontier even.
Yeah.
And so their ability to have the same kinds of services in every county, it just doesn't exist. So we have to look at it more from a regional perspective often, because those population centers are going to house many of those services, and that's where the capacity is built. That's where we have infrastructure. So we do have to partner with our counties around us. And at Lewis and Clark, good example, we have Broadwater and Jefferson and Marr and Powell counties all around us. And so Helena becomes a trade area for those counties, and we have to work together with our partners to provide services, because a lot of those services are going to be provided in Helena, because that's where the infrastructure is. So it's one of those things where we must work together, and behavioral health is an issue across our state. Every family's touched by behavioral health issues, and whether that's addiction or a mental illness of some kind. And so doing our best to try and be one of those facilitators of services in our community. Not very often are counties the actual provider of services, but we're a facilitator. We do provide some services. For instance, in Lewis and Clark County, we have a therapist in our jail. We have a case manager in our jail. We have some addiction services in our jail. So we try to work with those people coming into our facility so that as they leave in local jails, almost everybody leaves and goes back into the community. There is a small percentage that goes on to state facilities or something like that. But most people come back into the community, and often those folks are living with or are challenged by behavioral health issues. And so the best we can identify those, connect them with services in the community, the less likely they are to re-enter our systems, our justice system or our behavioral health system or whatever it might be that costs taxpayers money and also, you know, affect lives and families and all of those kinds of things. So, and often a population center like Helena, we have kind of the largest jail in the community. We have the largest behavioral health services in the community or in the area, and so in the region. And so we have to work with our partners to really try and beef up those services and make sure that that continuum of care, I'll call it, and that shared responsibility among all the partners is there and evident, and we're working together.
Gotcha. I'm going to bring this in now. 20 years doing this, and congratulations mm-hmm. on that, and thank you for that public service. Behavioral health is something that's relatively new. I mean, the question I kind of wanted to ask is, you know, who was Andy Hunthausen on day one to Andy Hunthausen 20 years later as far as a commissioner? I mean, you pick up a lot of things on the way, but this behavioral health is something that is on everybody's plates, kind of new over the past, well, less than a decade, right?
It is. I guess the first thing that's different is I'm grayer and whiter than I was 20 years ago.
You look marvelous. Don't worry about that. But, wearing it well.
But, yeah, I guess the term behavioral health, we've called it mental health, and we've called addiction services, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. It kind of all blends into behavioral health services, and that's kind of, we're using that kind of umbrella term for all of those services. But from the beginning of my time on the commission, we really were facing gaps in our community. We still do. There's still a lot of opportunity for improvement in services. But one of my goals or missions through my time was to really try and improve that continuum of care within our community and our ability to have services throughout that continuum from that what we call intercept zero, where, you know, before somebody enters our systems or enters the emergency room, can we do preventative stuff? And then do we have places for people to call or go if they are in crisis or having issues?
Right.
And then do we have people to respond? You know, do we have capacity to respond to people? And can we do that within our community versus using our ERs, using our detention centers, using our state hospital as, you know, those need to be last resorts if we can. And so if there's a way to serve our people that are living with mental illness or some kind of addiction issue with a service capacity in our community, then we really need to do that. So it's a real challenge. It's a challenge to work with all the partners to fund it. It's right. A challenge to have enough people and personnel and capacity, I'll say, you know, facilities to do those kinds of things, and it's expensive.
Well, and that's one of the things. There's a lot of federal help when it comes to, you know, health care in that regard, and some state help. Cities and counties, are you being tasked more and more than your budgets have been previously, so to speak, regarding paying for these services?
I would say that the quick answer is yes, yeah. We are. And in some ways it's... I guess I'll say intentional. At least, yeah. You know, each county does it a little bit differently. But in our case, it's this idea of that we do have a shared responsibility to participate in the solution. Mm-hmm. So we can't sit back and say, why isn't the state doing more? Why aren't the feds doing more? Why aren't, you know, our community providers doing more? We have to be part of that solution. So in our case, for example, we have, and I think many of the larger jurisdictions across the state have done this, where they've developed a behavioral health leadership team, for example, and that, you know, the hospitals are involved, law enforcement's involved, the city leaders, county leaders, you know, come together and talk about how do we participate together, how are we part of the solution, what can we do together to develop a continuum of care in our community, and working with our providers, you know, our behavioral health centers and addiction centers and those kinds of things to try and address the issues. And it's challenging because it often comes down to people and money, and facilities is the third thing. Yeah. So where do you do it? How do you do it? Who's going to do it? And who's going to pay for it? And so our legislature this last couple of sessions has really put some more money toward behavioral health funding. How does that come down to the communities? How do we make sure that that's used in ways that are most beneficial? How do we use the federal dollars that are coming down through the state, whether that's Medicaid dollars or pass-through dollars? You know, how do we use those most effectively? And then those grants that are out there, we need to, it's kind of an all-of-the-above approach to try and grab those things and bring them into the community for the benefit of our citizens.
Andy, we're going to have to pick up this conversation again some other time.
Okay.
It's an important conversation for the public and our public officials to have. Thank you for sharing some of that here today.
You bet. Yeah. Thank you.
56 counties, and boy, I love each and every one of these counties in Montana. I think they're all special in their unique way. We are here at the Montana Association of Counties Midwinter Conference. Welcome back from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. But every one of these counties, they have unique issues, and they also have some similar issues as well. One of the things that we're talking about here now is we welcome Dave Strohmeyer, who's Missoula County Commissioner and the District Chair for District 11 for Maco. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks for coming in. It's good to see you.
Absolutely. Good to be here in Billings, Montana today.
I was a citizen of your county for a number of years as well, and out in Clinton, Montana, and you came out and knocked on the door, as a matter of fact.
Seriously?
Yeah, you did. Good job. Yeah.
Did you close the door in my face?
I chased you off the land.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. Just kidding. No, we had a good conversation, Dave. It was really good. It was many years ago, though. Okay, so that's what it takes, is to engage in the county, right? Talk about that. Talk about and you've been a commissioner there for, I'm going to say, a decade now.
Well, some days it seems
like
a decade. I'm on my 10th year.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the state of Montana, most counties have three commissioners, and we serve as both the legislative and executive branch of government, and we're kind of at the front lines of local government in this nation.
Yeah.
And it's a privilege to be able to serve in this capacity and to hear the concerns of my constituents and do what we can to make everyone's life better.
And the nice thing about it is that when you're there, you're dealing on the things that are in front of you. You know, you're not standing up to give a speech for whatever issue across the country. You're not sending messages across the country. Of course, the Big Sky passenger rail thing is sending a bit of a message,
and
we'll get into that. But that's the thing, right? It is right there at that city level, the pothole level, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's day in, day out.
Yeah, it's what is in your face every day. It's, oh, man, how do you get to work? What sort of jobs are there available in your community? Public safety?
Big one.
I mean, clean air, clean water, the full nine yards, which is a challenge, but also is pretty exciting to be able to think creatively and try to think outside the box as far as how to make Montana a better place and keep it the last best place that there is.
What was the Dave Strohmeyer on his first day to the Dave Strohmeyer 10 years on the job?
Oh, man.
I know, well, I just threw it on you. You got something?
Well, yeah, it's been a learning experience. Every day is a learning experience. The job of being a commissioner is really holding two things simultaneously. One, certainly coming to the job with, well, like when I knocked on your door, I have no idea what I said, but probably it was some ideas of what I would like to accomplish in county government.
Yes.
So you got all that going on. But then there's the constituent services, the things that you just don't expect. The call that I got a couple months ago about an issue with feral horses in part of my county. I had no idea there were feral horses.
Yeah.
And so these things just come out of the blue. But for those individuals that are experiencing something up close and personal that's a challenge or a problem, I love rolling up my sleeves and working on some solutions.
Well, and that's what you did. Dave Strohmeyer is with us, Missoula County Commissioner, Maco District 11 Chair, but also he is the Commissioner or Chair of the Big Sky Passenger Rail Authority. You know, and we were sharing a little bit before we got on the air. You've got momentum behind this, and you worked hard, and not only you but others as well in your organization have worked hard, and so congratulations on that. And this was not a small hill to try and even get this far. Update us.
Yeah, so maybe a little bit of the genesis story of how the Big Sky Passenger Rail Authority came about and what it is. So we are focused on improving and expanding passenger rail service in the state of Montana. So let's roll back the clock. 46 years, 1979 was the last time this community right here that we're sitting in, Billings, Montana, saw regular passenger rail service. In 1979, that was the year that the former North Coast Hiawatha route was discontinued. That route connected Chicago, to the Pacific Northwest, through southern Montana, through southern North Dakota. And for 46 years, over four decades, there have been all manner of attempts to try to restore that service. Typically, it's been led by passionate individuals, advocacy groups, maybe isolated communities who from time to time would contact their representatives in Congress and say, we want this. Maybe they'd pass a resolution. I was part of that effort. Before I came onto the Board of County Commissioners, I served a couple terms on my community city council.
City council, yeah.
And that's exactly what we did. We teamed up with other communities and said, well, this is something that we think is valuable and that we want to restore. We're making our voices known. None of those efforts, as well you know, gained the momentum and the traction necessary to sustain a big effort like this. So, fast forward a little bit, I came onto the Board of County Commissioners about 10 years ago, and myself and other colleagues, other commissioners across the state, started asking ourselves the question and having conversations about what can we do different that we've not done before. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just try the same thing and expecting different results. So in looking at a map of the state of Montana, the one obvious thing that jumped out at us was counties are the one thing that's contiguous across the entire state. And so we started brainstorming, what can we do that these other efforts did not do? And we came upon a law on the books from the early 1990s that authorized counties to establish regional rail authorities.
It was already there
And this was after we pulled out a lot of hair trying to figure out what can we cobble together to make this thing. And here was the ready-made law on the books that had never been used before. It sat there since 1993, unactivated. So in the middle of the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic, fall of 2020, 12 counties came together jointly and established the Big Sky Passenger Rail Authority, the first ever regional rail authority in the state of Montana. We're a subdivision of state governments, or a government agency in Montana.
Okay.
And we have, over the course of the last 5 years, we just celebrated our fifth anniversary in November of last year. We have grown to 20 counties. We're now the largest transportation district geographically in the state of Montana. We stretch from the Idaho border in Sanders County all the way to the North Dakota border in Weibo County. And the main goal is, like I mentioned earlier, to expand and improve passenger rail service. Firstly, by looking at how can we expand east-west connectivity. And this would be restoring the former North Coast Hiawatha route. We're now calling that the Big Sky North Coast Corridor.
I like the term Hiawatha, but Big Sky works too, doesn't
it? Well, Hiawatha was a fictionalized Indian chief from New York, so it's like, what connection is that to Big Sky country?
Not much.
So we're re-envisioning what this route is not only called, but what it can do for our communities. It will connect the Pacific Northwest, Seattle and Portland, to Chicago through our neck of the woods. And we're also looking at the possibility for north-south connectivity. What about service from Salt Lake City up to Butte and to points beyond, or from Denver to Billings and points beyond? I can talk a little bit more about why that's important here in a second.
I'm going to run out of time, but this conversation goes on, okay? So we can continue on here. I'm going to try to cut a little bit to the chase about, on a scale of 1 to 10, this journey being starting at 1, ending at 10 successfully. Where are you at now?
I would say we're probably a 6 or 7.
Good.
And I think in terms of the likelihood of success, we're probably at an 8. From a timeline perspective, we've got a lot of work to do. We put a person on the moon in the 1960s. Seriously, we ought to be able to get a train going on planet Earth in a decade right here on the North American continent. So from that standpoint, we're looking at, if the stars continue to align, early to mid-2030s by seeing service activated. A lot of work to be done between now and then, but there we have great support from our congressional delegation, Senator Tim Sheehy.
Who's speaking here today, by the way.
He is speaking here today at a fireside chat, but great supporter. And he just introduced a bill into Congress a couple weeks ago that will streamline the planning process for us. He was a supporter before he got into the U.S. Senate because he recognizes the economic development and business case and potential for passenger rail, and that's critical.
And I think that's one thing. I'm going to point people to your website for that because there are things, I think, if you're wondering, you know, does it make sense? Is it a mandate or is it a subsidy that makes sense for us? There's some arguments that you guys make about how it does, and you understand where it doesn't either. So those things are approached there. What's your website?
It's Big Sky, www.bigskyrailmt.gov.
I should have noted that down. So Big Sky,
bigskyrailmt.gov.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Give us an update. And there we will continue this. And again, congratulations on getting, you know, past five, so to
speak.
Well,
and some great breaking news for everyone today. I just learned a few minutes ago about this. So besides working on restoring this southern route through Montana, and this is a long-distance route, this is not just within the state of Montana, we are also keenly aware of concerns that how will this impact the Empire Builder?
Right.
Empire Builder is a lifeline to communities across the northern tier, the High Line of Montana, which I think is instructive because if folks are wondering, well, how could this benefit southern Montana? Talk to your neighbors in northern Montana where it really is an important piece of those communities. Well, as part of helping make sure that route stays strong, we teamed up with Amtrak about a year and a half ago, applied for a $15 million federal grant to do work near Malta to kind of unplug stricture point in the freight and passenger system there. We were successful and just learned today that the $15 million has been obligated, which means we hope to start construction this summer on this project.
Wow.
This is a big deal. And we teamed up with Amtrak last week and put in for over $40 million grant to do similar work near Havre. So we're committed to making sure the Empire Builder stays strong, but just like we have more than one interstate in Montana and more than one airport in Montana, we think we can support more than one passenger rail route in Montana.
Commissioner Dave Strohmeyer, Missoula County, thank you so much for sharing some and that information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks
good
for having me.
We'll be chatting about it, too. It's a Montana thing.
Okay.
We're going to take a break and come on back. Eric Bryson will join us to wrap it up here. He is the executive director of MACO, where we're live at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center for their midwinter conference. Back with more Voices here in a bit. All right, saved a couple of minutes here. It's good. Eric Bryson is on our radio show here. Eric Bryson is executive director of the MACO organization, Montana Association of Counties. Just a couple of minutes as we wrap it up, Eric. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate that. How's the conference going?
You know, so far so good. It's another great opportunity for our members to get together and get some education, build some relationships, and work through some issues that counties have a commonality of issues that they need to address going into this next legislative session.
Talk about that, the value of this conference then, for that reason, because every one of the commissioners I've talked to here on the air have said, yes, we learn from each other around here.
Yeah, I think that is the best part. You know, we put a lot of effort. Our staff does a great job putting a lot of effort into the curriculum, getting good presenters, coordinating events with our partners at the state for issues that are really important for us. The topic this year sort of has become mental health as an issue that county commissioners are forced to deal with in the state's process and revisiting what community-based mental health service delivery is like. But I'll tell you, the real benefit for our members is the time that they spend in the halls, breaking bread together, the conversations that they engage in, building relationships that allow them to use each other as resources as they leave these education opportunities.
What makes a good county commissioner?
You know, I think that's a great question. They're all different. Each county is different, and each commissioner is different. So I think what makes a great county commissioner, from my perspective, is a person that's in the job for the right reasons, wants to do community good. You know, we've got some counties, I joke, that have second and third generation county commissioners, and so they just sort of think it's their turn and their opportunity. But the folks that are civic-minded, nobody does the job for the pay, and nobody does the job for the congratulations they get, but they do the job because they want to benefit and better their community.
Is Montana moving forward?
I think so. You know, there is always room for us to improve, especially relationships with states and the partners that we have, from criminal justice to mental health to infrastructure to roads and bridges. And our commissioners do a really good job of, you know, being able to understand that there are frustrating times and there are limited resources, but building those partnerships to make sure for the same constituent, the property taxpayer and the income taxpayer, that still wants good roads and the ability to get to and from work.
Eric, this is such a vital organization. It really is. I got a text message I'll share from Skip, who wants to thank all the county commissioners who do the work, because it's not easy work as well. And so I want to thank you, too. You got a great staff, by the way.
Amazing. They're great folks.
Yeah.
They keep me in line.
Yeah, that's good. Will, thanks for sharing that here, and thanks for having us here as well at the conference.
Absolutely.
Eric. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Open Phones. Take care. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.